You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men Stories. Welcome to our show. We have some wonderful stories to share. This is a little introduction of what we will share this hour. During our 89th show, we share experiences at the Motor Vehicle Department. This notorious place everyone has faced if they wished a driver's license. Almost everyone has faced long lines. There you also find great excitement, confusion, and disappointment. First, remember the first or subsequent times you have faced being there. What were your surroundings? Second, what were the preparations and the loops you went through? Emotionally tell what happened and detail the experience. Create an exasperating old man stories. Third, we share fun stories. Fourth, we have some new masters sharing life stories.
Good afternoon, everyone, from Fremont, California, and Lake Lizzie, Minnesota. It's Old Men Stories with Jeff Young and Roland Willits. And today we are driving around, or not driving around, because we're in line at the DMV. Well, not exactly. But, Roland, are you there? Are you online somewhere?
Yes, I am. And guess what? Guess where I was today, Jeff?
The DMV?
Yes. And this DMV is a magic one because I went in there, I walked in the door, and the girl was sitting there behind the counter. It was in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. You got to get it, one of the big cities. And she was working on her nails, waiting there. And I walked right up and I sat down and I was the first person. I told her my name. She looked it up. I had my whole transaction completed within about 8 minutes and was gone. I know you can't believe it, Jeff, but this happens. Up here in Detroit Lakes, if you wait for the right day.
No, I believe it. And I was actually in the DMV at the beginning of last month myself, so I have fresh stories, and it sounds like so do you. Now, of course, my question, as always, is how did this one get on our list of story topics?
That's really good. I don't know. I said it was an activity that we do, and there always seems to be interesting things happening around the DMV. First of all, when you drive into the driveway, you look around because at least 50% of them are driving for the first times in their life. So you drive in and you're terrified. Of course, you have the other side of it is they are super cautious because they're coming down to take their test.
But I can believe that.
It's scary. It's like, okay, we're around the DMV, drive extra cautiously.
Well, I remember a comedian at one point had this joke line that said, if you really want to strike fear into the hearts of all the people on the roads, get a beat-up junker car and then drive recklessly around the DMV. I remember when I was taking my road test for the third time. At the very end of the test, I came to a four-way stop. And in New York, you're supposed to go in order. The person on your right goes first. But everybody arrives at almost the same time, so everybody had someone on their right. And then it comes down to whoever arrived at the intersection first is supposed to go. The problem was is that we'd all arrived about the same time, so no one knew who was supposed to go first. And I remember distinctly looking across the other people with this look of everyone didn't know who was supposed to go. And if somebody screwed up, there were four of us who were going to lose our learner's permit again, or for the first time. And I remember taking control of the situation, opening the window, sticking my arm out and saying, "You go first." And that person on my right went, and the person on their right went, and the person on their right went, and finally I went last. Therefore, I guaranteed that I was the person who was going to not be wrong because I went last.
Oh, wow. And did you pass that time?
Yes. Now, to be fair, the first time I failed the test was because I parked on a curve. On a curve. The guy made me parallel park on a curve in the middle of winter, and I hit an ice bump. It's a little frozen ice speed bump, and the car did not back over it properly, so I gave it a little more gas. Nothing happened. A little more gas, nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, I went over it and hit the slick patch of ice on the other side and kind of bumped the curve a little bit, so I was failed for uncontrolled park.
And uncontrolled?
An uncontrolled park. That's what it said on the failure. It said, took the curve, an uncontrolled park, took the curve going backwards too fast and hit the curve because there was a curve. So instead of being on a park in parallel, I bumped the curve. I didn't even go up on it. It was just, I hit the curve and that was enough to fail me. But then again, this is the guy who failed people because he started them off at the stop sign, as in 3 feet in front of the stop sign, and failed people if they pulled out and did not stop for the stop sign right after starting up. And the first person back told everyone else, "Listen, you have to tell him, I am stopping here. Even though you were in a parking space, even though you're 3 feet in front of the stop sign, you must say, I am actually stopping before you go, or he will fail you on the spot." And DMV folks are supposed to be the kind of folks who are preventing unsafe drivers, people who don't know the rules of the road, to get on the road. But there is such a thing as trapping people. And in New York, they do that to you. So
yeah, they do that to you. It's an individual thing. You get these little Nazi judgment people that have their position go to their head, or their sociopaths. And they just like to fail people.
That's not exactly the case. I had a talk with one gentleman who failed me for the second time. And I said, "Listen, this is my second test. If you fail me, I need to go through the entire process all over again. Is there any way I can redo this? Because we have a difference of opinion on whether or not I saw that car oncoming or not." And he said, "No, you can't. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. And I recognize that you're young and you want to be out on the road. But it is my job to know that, because if I pass you and 2 weeks later you get into a wreck because you think you saw that oncoming car and you start in plenty of time and your judgment is wrong, it is my fault because I was the one that passed you. I have to be strict. I have to be the first line of defense to make sure you are driving safely. If you have taken the driver's course, like all of you did, you should be safe on the road. It is not my job to make you safe. It is my job to see that you already were safe." And he says, "I'm not being mean, and I'm sorry you have to go through the entire application process again. But as far as I'm concerned, you did not pass this test to my satisfaction. That is all." Now, the third driver's test that I took, it was in the middle of summer, and the woman got in. She said, "Does this car have air conditioning?" And I said, "Yes, it does." "Good," she said, "turn it on." And I said, "Ma'am, I know you just said to turn the air conditioning on, but to do so means I have to roll the windows up. Am I allowed to not give hand signals for the purpose of this test and not fail?" And she said, "Yes, I am the examiner. I am the one telling you that you do not need hand signals. And if they are required, I will tell you to give the hand signals. But for the time being, for this test, I've waived the need to do hand signals. Now please turn the air conditioner on." She laughed. And not surprisingly, that was the one I passed. She had a better sense of humor about it. They're not all like that. It's just some of them take their job very seriously. Anyway, as far as DMV experiences go, you kind of touched briefly on your very, very quick trip to the DMV recently.
All I was doing, by the way, I wasn't doing any driving tests. I was just getting a license.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say a license. I was getting a license plate thing. You know, the little stickers, the yearly stickers.
Yep.
So yes, I have a whole bunch of stories about, you know, DMVs. One of the things that I have noticed, you know, when I first came to California and when I went to the DMV, there was, you know, mostly Caucasian or blacks, you know, that was it. And especially when I was out in Fremont area, the area that you and I live in. And the last time I went to the DMV, it was like the airport in Kenya, or the airport in San Francisco, too. It's more crowded in Kenya, so you get these people from all over the world going through there. And that's what it looked like in DMV. And you heard all these different languages, and you wondered how they were going to pass because they couldn't even speak English in the DMV. And
which DMV office is this?
What?
This which is DMV office is this? Really?
The DMV office in Fremont, yeah, down at Central. I think the avenue is Central. And it's just funny. I sat in there, and I had to, of course, wait because I was in town. I had to, you know, in the cities, I had to wait for, you know, my hour and a half or 2 hours before I got, you know, and then you get in a line, and you get to the end, and you say, and you cross your fingers and say, I hope I'm in the right line. Because if you blow it, you got to go back on the other line. They say, oh, you're supposed to be over at, you know, over. They send you to another line. You have to start over again. So, yeah, so that's what I noticed. And it's really interesting. I think all the tests are in English, aren't they, Jeff?
No, they're not. It depends on which office you go to. But the offices are designed to serve the community that they are in. So you have... What you run into is that they're trying to be more diverse multiculturally, and they have people who speak English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Chinese, and a number of other languages. But I remember specifically they actually had a sign on the one I went to that said, if you non-native English speakers, please state the language that you speak, and we have people who can translate for you. And they have forms in different languages.
It's scary. They shouldn't... All the signs and everything else and all the notices are written in English. It's like I don't see like 35 languages on every sign.
Well, sure,
I don't see why. I mean, we should have a national language so that we can all communicate through one central language. I don't mind some languages, but we should. In South America, they have, in Brazil, you go there and they speak Portuguese. And they don't piddle around having English Portuguese, they have Portuguese. And although people speak English, you better know Portuguese to pass tests and to drive and everything else. So I just do not understand that. But, and not so much for, you know, pride in one language, it's the ability to be safe. If you can't read a sign that's written in English, you could easily cause an accident.
Well, the thing is that if you drive in England, they speak English, but the road signs and the road rules are very different.
Agreed, but it's all in English. It's in English and English. I mean, it's in England and English.
I remember a story that somebody told me once that they drove across to Canada, and the speed limit signs were in kilometers per hour.
Yes.
So, of course, at the time, when the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, they were confused when it said speed limit 88, which is still 55 miles per hour. So, of course, they said, wow, the speed limit here is 88 miles an hour. I should drive 85, and I should be perfectly fine. And he got pulled over. And they said, do you realize how fast you were going? And I said, yeah, I was doing 85. And they said, no, you were doing 140 in kilometers per hour. And it didn't matter that he was from the United States. He still got a ticket for doing over 80 in a 55 mile per hour zone, that as if it would have been in the United States. So he got to pay the ticket in Canada before he could go home. And his only joke about it was that the Canadian exchange rate was at least a little bit less than the U.S. exchange rate. So it wasn't quite as bad as it could have been.
Well, I've driven a lot of Canada. In fact, I drove it with the RV. And they have big signs when you drive in there, kilometers and miles. And you actually have a, on every border, they have sort of a conversion table up there that you can look at.
Sure.
So apparently the person was so excited about all the other things you've got to do that that they missed it. But that's funny. We went, Terry and I were, we had my Terry's brother lived up in Seattle. This is a good story. We got all our shotguns and everything. We were going across to Canada because they were up in Vancouver. They have a gun club there. And they were having a state contest or a British Columbian contest for shooting. So we went across the border, and I had Terry and I had our shotguns there. We, you know, we had a couple other guns, and we went and we asked the Canadians, do we have to register these? They said, no. Well, everyone said they have all these Canadian rules and everything. And they said, no, you just take your shotguns and go and shoot. Well, we looked, we were very confused. We said, is there some note or something we have to do or anything we have to do? We've got our license. We got it. No, we see your shotguns. They're just fine. So we went up and we had a cool time. I mean, the Canadians are so cool about shooting and that, and they're great sportsmen. And we finished our shooting the trap, and by the way, I won a belt buckle. And we came back across the border. We got there, and they said, do you have any guns? Yeah, we have the shotguns that we brought across the other way. They said, where's your sales documents? The terror was not in going to Canada. It was coming back. We said, what? We didn't know there was any rules like this. They said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And what we found out is that we were supposed to register the guns when we went across. So it took us about 3 hours to work through all the stuff. But what we found out is that the Canadian customs are really pretty easy. It's American customs that's absolutely terrible about guns and everything else. And I thought it was the Canadians that were terrible about guns. Boy, you learn something every day, Jeff.
Well, I think it's time for the actual story that I have to share for today. And one of the things about driving in California is that you have to have a sticker every year. And they will send you the renewal sticker every year, about 2 months before you actually need to replace it. For a car that is due to expire in July, you'll get the sticker application in May. And for the one that expires in May, you'll get a sticker application in March. And since between Laura and myself, we have two cars that expire in those months, we'll get Laura's car first and then mine second. So about the time my renewal notice pops up in May is when we need to put a sticker on her car. And being the obsessive kind of person who pays bills as soon as he gets them, I essentially paid the bill and got the sticker in the mail. Now, what happened was, is I've been parking down the street for the past several months, and instead of having the car in the garage where I just go downstairs, put the sticker on, I said, okay, well, I'll do it when I get to work. And when I got home, I said, you know, it's dark. I'll do it tomorrow. Somewhere between May, or late May when I got the sticker, and end of July when I was supposed to have the sticker on my car, I lost the sticker. And I realized, oh dear, it's August 1st. I need to get the sticker on my car because I'm driving illegally. As in, a cop will pull you over because the stickers on the cars are a bright color that any cop from 100 feet away will notice. Your car license plate has the sticker color from last year. We went from blue to yellow. There is no mistaking the difference in color. And the year before that was red. So you went red, blue, yellow. And they can drive up to the back of your car and look at it. Oh, the other side sticker says July. So now they know your sticker expires in July and you have the wrong color sticker. They can pull you over and give you a ticket. Expired license. And yeah, they could call in and say, oh, hey, you're actually registered for this year. You just didn't put a sticker on. Then you just get a fix a ticket, which would require having the sticker that I lost. So I kind of decided, okay, got to go down to the DMV. I had a trip coming up to Oregon. So if I hadn't gotten it fixed before I got back to Oregon, it would be another 2 weeks potentially that I was driving around illegally. And as a result, I did not get an appointment. In the DMV, one thing they do here in California is they tell you, if at all possible, make an appointment with the DMV. And they will tell you, if you have an appointment, you get to go to a much shorter line, the appointment line. If you don't have an appointment, you have to wait on the walk-ins line, which you have to go all the way through the walk-ins line. You get the forms that you tell them what you want to do, and they give you a letter card that says B, C, J, K, or something on it. And they say, okay, go fill out the forms over there, and when you're done, get in the appointment line. So everyone who has an appointment gets to skip one line completely. Everyone who doesn't has to wait on two lines. Once you get to the end of the second line, they take your card back, they give you an actual ticket number, and they tell you to go wait. And this is the improved system they had, where you get to sit in the audience, and there are these television monitors up top that have numbers on them, and it's kind of like a deli counter. You have a letter and a bunch of numbers, and you think, oh great, I've got K, or I have C, and they're on B. But then you kind of look and you say, wait a minute, they're only using a few different letters. They're using B, C, H, E, J, and K. There is no L. The only L there is being at the DMV. And knowing the DMV's propensity for being slow, and knowing that since I didn't have an appointment, I was going to be there for a while, I brought something to do. Other people were not so lucky. I had a gentleman who had the dubious wisdom of bringing his 5-year-old daughter with him and nothing to do. And she desperately wanted to do something. She wanted to draw. She wanted to write. She wanted to write her name or her dad's name. And the only piece of paper he had to write on was the form that he had to fill out in order to get out to the DMV. So he didn't have any paper for her to write on. But being a technical writer, I had a manual with me to edit. And so I took off the blank sheet of paper in the back of my manual and became the hero of the day for her by saying, here, have some paper to write on. And she was happy to the gratitude of the guy there. But we're out of time for the moment. So let's go ahead and continue with this line after the break. See you in a few minutes.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Men Stories. I'm Jeff Young, and this is Roland Willits. Roland, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, I was talking about the DMV and the lines and the strange archaic letters. So being a technical writer and always being on the lookout for good stories and knowing this particular episode was coming up, I had to ask the question that probably a number he will ask. When I got to the front, Karen, the lovely lady who took my call, or took my ticket, I asked her, so what do all these letters mean? And she smiled and she said, well, the letters are the transaction code. We have a code that each particular thing takes, depending on how long that particular job will take. So when you see the letter G, for example, that's pretty much legal stuff. If you see a letter D, it means someone's registering a boat. If someone has the letter A, they are registering a new vehicle. So we always know which station to send them to based on the letter that we give them at the front desk there. I said, ah, okay, that makes more sense, because when I first came up to the line at the front and I said, hey, I've got two things that I'm trying to do here. One of them is that I'm getting a duplicate sticker, and the other one is that I need a duplicate title for my car. So they gave me the letter H in the beginning. And then when I said I have two things, they said, okay, well, we'll give you the letter for the one that takes the most time, which is the letter J. So they gave me a different letter. And the woman kind of looked at me funny in the at the front of the line, but the woman at the end who explained all this to me said, this is why you're going to this line, because that way you know I have the forms that you need. And I can generally answer most of the questions that you have about that particular job title. And we rotate these things around. For the most part, you see the letters that are up there the most, because most people come to the DMV for specific things most of the time. The other letters are pretty rare. And I said, aha, mystery solved. So now I know. So the next time I go to the DMV, I'm going to bring this chart with me and see how many people are doing all these various things. And because you can always tell who's going to get their driver's appointment by the letter, or the driver's test by the letter they have in front of their code. Anyway, Roland.
That's right.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yes. So I have one story. I was in San Francisco, and I was in my 40s then, but I decided in San Francisco that I was going to get a motorcycle. Well, you know, Jeff, you can't just drive a motorcycle with a car license. Did you know that?
I did. It requires a different license, and driving a truck also requires a different license.
That's right. I was trying to remember, by the way, for my story, I was trying to remember getting my Class A license for driving truck, and I couldn't remember because it was over half a century ago. It was like back in Minneapolis. I could not remember. I couldn't remember what the DMV looked like. But I remember when I was in San Francisco and got one for a motorcycle. And it wasn't the test so much because, you know, they give you a little pamphlet, you know, a little motorcycle pamphlet. You got to read all the little motorcycle instructions because you have a different instruction set for a motorcycle than you get for driving a car. Which, you know, I didn't quite understand it, but, you know, I picked up the differences and I would take tests, and then I passed the written test. Man, I was sailing. But then they said, okay, you got to do a driving test. I says, you got to bring your motorcycle here. Well, I didn't have a motorcycle at the time, so it gave me a reason to go out and buy a motorcycle. So I got my motorcycle, and I had only driven it for about 3 days. It was a 750 Suzuki, and it was, you know, a big bike. It was a big bike because they were big. I think they shrunk the engines down. They're not as big, but it was pretty big when I drove it. And so all that night before, I couldn't quite figure out how someone would get on the back of your motorcycle for you to take the test, because I had never had a rider on a motorcycle. You know, someone that rode on the back, and then I was going to have to take this test, and I didn't, you know. How do you do parallel parking, Jeff, with a motorcycle?
Well,
because they didn't tell you how you were going to take tests.
Actually, what it turns out is that, and this is some friends of mine who told me this, have asked the same question, that for motorcycles, there is a completion of a novice motorcyclist training program certificate. And that's in lieu of the driving test.
Well, they did have it when I took mine 30 years ago.
That might be it. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you. You asked the question.
Oh, okay. Well, this is more of a discussion then. Anyway, I went there, and what happened is they had a little spot laying back, and they had a place in back. They did tests, and I looked, and all they had were these cones all over. You know, the cones you see out in the highways. So they said, okay, drive down this set of cones. Okay, I drove down the set of cones, and I put out my foot. They said, oh, you can't do that. Do it again without doing that. So what the whole test was about was just balance, mostly. So and it was pretty easy, but that was the last time I took a driver's, a driving test was for motorcycles, and it was really interesting. It was in their parking lot, and it was pretty easy. So I said, man, I said this motorcycle stuff is pretty cool. And so I took my motorcycle and I drove out of there. And a week later, I was driving into work. I was working at as VP of finance at a hospital. I got about a half a block away, and I turned and the grease on the road, I just sailed right away and ripped the heck out of my arm. So I found out that they should have had something written that I had to study about this oil on the road. So, but I was quite fortunate because I held my skin together, and I walked into the emergency room at the hospital that I was going to work at that day. So I was the talk of the hospital for the day. Yeah, we got to have our story for the day. Our story is John Guzzleman. And John, I don't know how he got this through the DMV, but he has a bus, a bunch of buffaloes on. Take it away, Sharon.
Roland Willits, All Men Stories. And I'm here with my buddy that I went through several wars with because he always has some injury. And you can't see his knee now, but it's all in parts. John Gunkelman. John has been my neighbor forever.
Forever.
You know, I spend the summer here, and he's about four cabins?
Yep.
And John, but you see, built the home that I'm in here. Yep. So I actually brought him over so I would have a picture. In case I have any problem, I can send a picture to the authorities. Of course, the thing was done in 2009 or 8, wasn't it? Seven?
Probably even.
Yeah, about
seven.
Yeah.
So it's, or six.
Yeah, it's still up.
Still have warranty.
Yes, still up. Still up. It still has all the parts, yes. Yeah. So, John has been running a construction company how many years?
On my own for 27 years.
And what before that? Were you in partnership?
I worked for a larger general contractor.
Oh. Well, what did Judy think when you decided to go on your own? Judy's his wife.
I think she was scared. We just had our fourth child just 4 months before that.
Oh.
So, and the company that I was working for was having some difficulties, and I think if I hadn't have left, I might have been asked to leave in the next 6 months.
Oh.
So, it was something I'd wanted to do or try, so the rest is history.
That's right. And who owned the property down here before you? Was that in the family?
My grandparents.
That's right. It was. That's what I was saying. I think it was in the family.
Yep. My grandma and grandpa bought down there in, I think, the late 30s.
Wow. Yeah, and the Rutherfords owned it. And, I started coming in 41. You came after.
Well, yeah. You've got 10 years on me. Need I remind you of that?
Oh no, I'm an old man. That's why I don't have young men stories.
I'm not sure why I'm here yet.
Well, I'm sure. I look at your daughter and I says, "Is he an old man?" And she goes, "Absolutely." So you're labeled.
There you go.
All you have to do is ask your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa here. I've got a picture of him. I'll have to stick it on the video of him with his granddaughter on the end of the dock in front of their cabin.
Okay.
I've got that. I'll put that up in the corner.
Okay.
You built that place. When did it start, the new place?
95.
So it's been around for almost 20 years now.
Yep.
When's it going to get done?
Hopefully the finished yard gets in this summer. And it's none of your business.
I tease because cabins never get done. By the way, that has to do with, it's just policy.
It's a male thing.
It's a male thing, and it's policy. You don't quite ever get done.
No.
Because as soon as you do, the wife will have what?
Have a new list.
Yes, have a new list.
Like somebody said, I thought when my wife retired that my list would get shorter.
She had more time to think.
Yeah, exactly. My wife had more time to think about the list, so it's gotten longer. She's been retired for 3 years.
Wow. What did she do?
Taught school.
She taught school, yes. And she was elementary, right?
Kindergarten most of the time.
Kindergarten, wow. Well, you know, Chris, Dave, my brother's wife, taught at Montessori for kindergarten in first grade. Yeah. Boy, I bet that. Is she, you know, handling not having those screaming noises?
Oh, yes. She's got the grandkids a lot.
Just to keep the noise going so she doesn't go crazy with the quiet.
Yep, she's at home.
Yeah, and then they have those two big red dogs.
Well, one of them is ours, and the other one's Sarah and BJ's.
But it's mostly,
it's mostly with us.
Does it spend a lot of time at home in Fargo?
Well, when they're home, it's usually at their house.
Oh, okay.
But if they go anywhere, then we have it.
Well, you just had your new granddaughter, didn't you?
Grandson. 9 weeks. 9 weeks ago.
Grandson. Oh, man. Sons. Aha. John has how many sisters?
Four.
Four sisters. One boy. You were second youngest or youngest?
Perfect middle child.
Perfect middle. Oh, wow.
Yep.
And so you had them picking on you from below and above.
Yep.
John has one of the nicest, easiest going personalities. And it came from having all those girls around him.
That's probably right.
Huh?
That's probably right.
I know you didn't get a word in edgewise.
My mother and I were close.
So you were or you weren't?
We were.
You were. Okay.
Yeah.
So she took your spot.
Yeah.
Oh, don't pick on my son!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. You got the advocate super general.
That's right.
You can sort of win a little more with the advocate general on your side. So you've built all over this whole area. And I know you've built some wonderful cabins. And what other kind of big construction have you done?
We do a little mix of light commercial work. We've worked on churches. We've done financial institutions. We primarily now do all of State Bank of Fargo's work.
Do you?
Yeah. Mainly their office fit-ups and any remodeling that they do. They've been a very good client of ours.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they've been good to us.
That's wonderful that you get. Well, especially, didn't they just change the name to Bell? Or was
Bell it State Bank.
Bell State Bank, yeah. They bought another company and then took their name.
They bought a mortgage lending company in the Twin Cities. And State Bank is just, there was just too many state banks out there. So they wanted to get a little bit better identity.
Well, we got our loan here through them. I think you...
Yep.
You
through Ron Jordan.
Us, yes. Group.
Yep.
So, it's family up here, by the way, isn't it?
Still small enough.
And he's going to tell us a little about his bus. He has a bus. We go over and it's in a big Quonset house. We park our RV next to his bus.
Well, it's a group of ours bus. It's called the Fargo Beer Club. Some people refer to it as the Fargo Baptist Church, but only for insurance purposes. But a friend of mine we talked about getting a bus for tailgating for years.
Right.
And a friend of ours, Bob, actually went out and found a bus in Montana.
Wow.
Drove it back in April in a snowstorm. And then he proceeded to get it. He did a lot of the work himself to fix it up. And he also got it decaled.
Right. What are the decals?
Let's see. The name on the back of the bus is the Boardroom.
It's got a big buffalo.
Yeah.
Bison for us North Dakotans.
And
That's for North Dakota State.
And then we had a get-together at their lake place right over here on Pelican that summer, and all of a sudden he left for a few minutes and he drove up with our tailgating bus.
Wow.
And then he was hoping that the rest of us would kick in money then for it.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, we were just talking about this morning because we were over at the shed washing it because one of the other members of the beer club or tailgating group is using it for their wedding this afternoon in Detroit Lakes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Also, it gets more use than just go to state tailgating.
I've taken it to Bismarck a couple times during legislative years putting together a group for lobbying for home builders.
Okay.
Things, and then let's see, what else? Another one of our guys has used it for during the Christmas season to haul homeless people around for dinners at churches.
Wow.
So it's gotten some use, and we've had some interesting. It broke down on me one night when I was using it.
Oh.
And the harmonic balancer on the engine, the big flywheel on the bottom, the bolts came out of that, and so we were dead of the water, and I had about 24 home builders in it. And, of course, I was the only sober one. And
you were the designated driver.
Oh, yeah. And we ended up getting a wrecker at 10:30 at night. And I had to get rides. Kind of luckily, we were around Detroit Lakes, and we got rides for everybody to get back to the Holiday Inn in Detroit Lakes. And then the next day, I went, somebody in their emails said, yeah, the harmonic balancer went out, and the one lady says, she didn't know that we had a sound system in the bus. So that got a lot of chuckles. So, no, we got a lot of fun with it.
And you see all these buffalo all around it, in North Dakota State.
Yep.
And my maroon RV has the privilege of parking next to
your maroon RV even dwarfs our bus.
Not very much.
Yeah.
So. I just parked it back further. That's why it looked big this time.
So.
Anyway, that's an awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Anything you want to say to your family?
To my family?
Yeah, to your family.
To my family.
I've never done this before. Just volunteering to say something. How about your grandson? A boy in the family.
Yeah, my grandson and my granddaughter are the best things that ever happened.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's what you live for.
Yeah. If you could have started over, you just had the grandkids skip.
We've been very fortunate to have four great kids. So.
Well, your kids are just awesome. He has got wonderful kids.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
They're all over the whole northwestern area here.
Well.
Yeah, one in Montana, don't you?
Used to be. Now he's in Colorado.
He's in Colorado.
They're the only ones that aren't close to us.
Oh, is that right?
Molly moved back to Fargo.
Oh, okay.
So we have three out of the four in Fargo now.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, you know something. You don't have a North Dakota accent. You should be able to turn it on and off. You know, it's like I bring him on. He's from North Dakota. He's from Fargo, and he. And I don't get the movie Fargo accent, you know, for the whole show. You know, he sounds like a Californian.
We'll see how the sequel this fall goes when they start the Fargo series.
Oh, is that right? They're going to have a Fargo series?
Well, there's going to be a television. I think it's a mini series.
A mini series? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, with that same lady or a different?
No. And I think was it going to be? Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, wow.
I think that's who's going to be.
Well, he's the one in Disney. He's on a Disney series, isn't he?
So, we'll see.
Well, we'll look forward to, you know, seeing you on a super screen. The little screen with Old Men Stories.
Yeah.
So, I'll say.
And it's going to be shot, though, in Canada.
It's going to be shot in Canada, say Bucks.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works.
Oh, yes. Get a Canadian.
Get
a bunch of in there.
Yeah.
Roland Willits, Old Man Story. You say. John Gunkelman. Old Man Stories.
Old Man Stories.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I got to say that driving is a responsibility. And the thing that kind of jumped out at me the most is that the more people you're hauling, the more people you have to figure out what to do with when something goes wrong. And I never knew that cars had a harmonic flywheel. Now I learned something. One last thought is that vehicle licenses, Class A appears to be for trucks and towed vehicles. Class B is for trucks without trailers. Class C is the standard car license. And Class M is for motorcycles. So they are very separate licenses with very separate tests. Although, I have to admit, I remember the one time that a friend of mine got to drive a U-Haul. They were really happy because they got really tall, and they kind of scraped the side view mirror on a post because the truck was bigger in turning radius than the car that he was used to. So, when it comes to U-Hauls, make sure you adjust to the new driving thing. Any last comments before we close the show for the day, Roland?
Well, we've driven our way through and passed the test of one more old man's story.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and good luck next time you go to the DMV. Make an appointment first online or call. It'll take you a week, but you get done a lot faster when you get to the DMV. See you next week, everyone.
Forms, lines, and old license plates on the walls, and the vistas of government regulations at work. The Department of Motor Vehicles is where everyone goes to learn how to drive, or to continue to drive. What sort of stories do you have for how you got to be behind the wheel? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Men Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.